Good morning, Chelvest and Caldergott and Chelston Rise. It's Sunday the 14th of June, and this is Adrian Dale with the final podcast of the emergency in this parish. I chose that music as it sums up the way that the people of Chelston cum Corcod have worked together throughout this storm, and for the rainbow of hope, which was the symbol of support for the NHS. We started this journey with no idea what was going on. On that Friday night when the Prime Minister closed the pubs and then the churches, our lives were turned on their heads. Nothing made sense. We all wondered, surely things weren't that bad. Aren't we overreacting? But oh yes, they were that bad. And oh no, we weren't overreacting. Over 50,000 deaths later, and we know just how bad things were. On that night, the virus was already embedded in all parts of the United Kingdom, being carried around by people not showing any symptoms at all. We just didn't know it. And we've had our own scares. 8 households in this village have suffered from the virus, and I was devastated by each one. And I can only hope that they felt supported as we held those virtual hands together. Several others had to lock themselves away for over 3 months, shielding from the virus. We didn't forget them, and we still won't as long as they continue to shield. I said at the start of this emergency that no one would have to face this crisis alone, and I meant it. But this community has delivered more support than I could ever have hoped for. Volunteers have stepped forward to help those isolating, and I must say thank you to you all. I'm sure I'm going to miss someone out if they've been keeping quiet, so I'm sorry to have failed you. So thanks must go to Vicky Austin, Sam Mace, Rachel Maywood, Jenny Ranson and Candy Thornton Scott, who've worked week in, week out to do the shopping and to pick up prescriptions for households who were self-isolating. And of course, thanks go to Chris, Elaine, Michael and Amanda for our tulip bonanza throughout the emergency. Those tulips brought joy to everyone self-isolating and to everyone who bought them on the VE Day and during the competition. Carol Parsons, Tricia Buckman, Jenny Harwood and Jane Seaman from the events team have been keeping up spirits, and I'm thrilled that Liz Potter and Pete Rawlins have stepped forward to help in the future. And then there was Sarah Stops with her book swap stall at the end of Water Lane, and all those who donated puzzles to the puzzle library. And Saturday night quizzes have been great fun, but they must have involved loads of hard work from Mike and Rachel Maywood. Thanks to you both. We've had other people doing great community work throughout the emergency. Vanessa and Bob, Clinton, Jack and Leighton at Chelston Rise, and Vicky and Martin in the lay-by. All have been working hard to smarten up the place in which we live. And people like Ray Knight, Cuffy and Michael Farrow have kept doing what they've always done, unfazed by the crazy world outside, just doing their bit. And the ministry teams from the church stepped forward really quite quickly indeed, with a service broadcast on the Sunday straight after the churches were closed. Michelle and Brenda have been relentless in their wish to connect with everyone who needed support and comfort. And you'll have heard the voices of Leslie McCormack, Linda Bond and Paul Needle as they put the broadcasts together. Please be reassured that these online services will continue and that I'll be helping them with the publication every week. And then we have the rest of us joining in, giving positive feedback, oiling the wheels, making contributions. All in all, it's a great place to live. But whilst many of the village were working from home or furloughed, we mustn't forget the key workers from the NHS, the emergency services, the transport workers, the supply chain, the folks who work in the shops. They had to keep going to work. And Joanne Card was our inside track at Asda early on in the shopping shortages. Her daily intelligence was invaluable. At the start of the epidemic, many of these key workers were really worried for their health, and quite rightly so. Some of these did indeed catch the virus, and they were very poorly with it. And it was such a relief once they pulled through. I actually felt quite guilty myself because I had the freedom to be out in the open air all day long, doing what I always do. And yes, I had many hours each day working on the emergency, but realistically that gave me the freedom to live my life almost as normal, so I really can't complain. And as for shortages, again, I was very lucky. My beer ran out twice and I had to switch to a stronger brew for lunch, but that's hardship, isn't it? Not really. Actually, the hardest part for me is not being seeing relatives for so long. My family, Lynn's family and Helen's all live within a few miles of each other in the Midlands, and that normally makes family visiting easy. But they might as well be on the other side of the world, as I haven't risked a journey up there. None of them are in brilliant health, and they've been shielding as much as practical, so I'm not going to risk breaking into their shielding bubble just yet. I'm sure many of you are facing the same dilemmas. Modern communications technologies have undoubtedly helped us, but it isn't the same as meeting in person. And these podcasts, well, they've been the surprise hit of the epidemic, particularly for those who are shielding. Peggy and Rosemary have both commented that it was helpful to have this window on life outside their houses, a voice from outside coming in when no one else could visit them. We've got many people listening to these podcasts from outside the village, and they've all commented on how good it's been to listen in and to be a fly on the wall as a community pulled together. They've even enjoyed hearing about our local characters and the history of this great place. It's actually been a privilege to share some of the village history with you. We moved here in 1987, but we showed no interest whatsoever in the village until our children were born in the mid-90s. It was then that I first met H when he did some building work for us in Dutchy Close. He used to delight in telling me stories of the village when he was growing up. And Mark Hunter, of course, has formalised our history on the parish website. It's a fantastic resource and hopefully unfinished business. The more we can learn about the place we live, the more grounded in it we can be. Although we're winding down the formal side of the emergency provision, I hope this isn't the end of the community spirit we've built. So many new connections have been made between families from all parts of the village. I can't leave the house now without bumping into someone I've met through this emergency. Over the years, these village connections have served us well, and these new ones are the positive outcomes from this ordeal that we've been through. And wasn't yesterday's scarecrow competition just the perfect way to bring an end to our emergency? The weather was just fantastic. How does Michelle do it, eh? It was lovely to see so many households out and about with a little bit more freedom to walk the village. I even saw some of the families who were shielding out and about in their cars, and I can't tell you how nice that was to see them again. Even Elliot joined in the fun yesterday. We had a chat earlier in the week about the competition, and he said he'd come in costume for the day. And it was great to see him in a photo next to Lucy's tribute to him as our great postie. He also took advantage of the walk-in COVID-19 test clinic at Rachel's house. Pete the Wurzel Rawlins was the inspiration for yesterday's competition, and he did us all proud, going out around the village on Alice's tractor all day yesterday, and there are some great photos of him with the kids. He's had a really tough week getting this girl going, but it was worth it in the end. So I hope you all got a chance to meet the latest of our village characters, who will now be joining the ranks of H, Cuffy, Andy and Pong in the history of the village. So there we have it, folks. This phase of the emergency is now formally over for the people of Chelsea Concorcord. We've emerged a stronger village and hopefully a wiser village, understanding what's really important in life, family, friends, and hopefully good neighbours. Long may it continue. And thank you to you all for listening right through until the end. But hang on, where's the winner of the scarecrow competition? You promised you'd put it in the podcast, I hear you say. Well, I've decided that I won't, because you just can't describe all those brilliant entries in a podcast. So the winners and the runners-up will be announced in the newsletter alongside photographs taken by Derek Wales. Thank you for listening, folks, and goodbye for now.